Perky Plains and RC here, operating at 2.4 gigahertz, and got my good old coffee. Waiting for it to kick in pretty good. It's slowly getting there. All right. And I might be munching on some Little Debbie cakes in the meantime, too, here. So if you hear me snacking, that's what it is. I'm a big fan of Little Debbie cakes, or really any of that kind of stuff. I mean, actually, these are generic, like they're Mrs. Freshley's snacks. But, yeah, I like give me some good old zebra cakes or some Swiss cake rolls. Oh, yeah, all about that stuff. All right. Let me get started here. So, I think it's sort of a given that when people like myself, say, start up a social media thing, whether it's a YouTube channel or this podcast or anything else, you most always want to say, hey, let me introduce you guys. Let me do a segment here, do an episode, do a video or something about, basically about, you know, starting into the hobby. Like what's something that we can help beginners with to get started into the hobby? Something to teach you, you know, teach you the ropes, basically, to sort of help you get started. So I'm pretty sure on my YouTube channel I've covered it, you know, like some beginner tips, some beginner stuff. And it's only fair that I go ahead and do the same thing here on the podcast. So that's what this is about. This is basically, as I kind of see it, helping the future of the hobby, basically. You know, this is helping those new people out there get started into doing this kind of thing. Because let's be honest, you know, RC airplanes is not really an easy thing. And I will say, with technology and everything else, it's become easier for sure. But again, it's not really an easy thing. It takes time and practice to really kind of master, you know, really well. And honestly, I haven't mastered it, and probably never will. But, you know, it's just one of them things. So that's what we're going to cover. We're going to cover, you know, basically introducing somebody new to the hobby and showing them and kind of explaining what the things you need to look for to sort of get started with the hobby and everything. And I actually had prepared for this episode. I didn't prepare for my first one, obviously. It was just a, you know, kind of fly by the seat of my pants thing, like I said. So this one, I've actually got a little bit of an organization and a little bit of an itinerary here that we're going to go through and just kind of talk about, you know, what it is you need to know to get started with the hobby. So I hope this helps anybody out there that's looking to get into the hobby. And one thing I do want to mention is I thought about this as I'm going through things. I'm going to refrain from using any kind of brands or any certain types of model names or model numbers or anything like that, anything to identify a current product. And the reason for that is simple. What is current now may not be current in a year or two when some people might listen to this. So I'm going to try to keep the terms as general as possible, not really mention any brand names or anything. I mean, I might mention a little bit, but basically just try to keep it as general as possible so that the person, the new user, can sort of research the brands on their own to find out what they want to go with. So that's what we're going to kind of focus on. So just a very general overview for someone to get started in the hobby, okay? All right. So the first thing I have down is we're going to talk about the types of RC aircraft. I think it's very common for anybody who sees an RC airplane and getting into the hobby, they immediately want to gravitate towards like warbird airplanes. I'm talking like the Corsair, the P-51 Mustang, the Spitfire, all the classic like World War II stuff and all that. So people immediately want to go to that, or they want to go to like the F-16s, the F-15s. The fighter jets kind of stuff, right? For a beginner, do not go with those. Do not go with those because basically you've got to be on top of the thing. You've got to be like right there with it, you know, babying the thing the whole time. There's no, you know, there's basically no margin for error. You have to know how to fly these things really, really well. Those are the types of aircraft that come later, okay? Because they require a lot of fast reaction for something that might be too overwhelming for a beginner, okay? So avoid, you know, any kind of jet, you know, fighter jet kind of stuff, and avoid warbird airplanes. So, like I said, the World War II stuff, all the cool-looking, you know, war airplanes, you know, you want to avoid most of those. Instead, and this might sound boring, but instead you want to go with more of a high wing design, okay? So the types of planes where the wing is on top of the fuselage, on top of the body of the aircraft, okay? So I'm talking stuff like, you know, you go down to the local small airport and they have like the little Cessna airplanes, the Piper Cub airplanes, you know, stuff like that. That's the kind of stuff you want to go towards, okay? So most of your warbirds are what they call low wing, where the wing is actually below the fuselage. Okay, so you don't want that. You want the ones where the wing is on top of the fuselage. So, and the reason why is basically they fly slower, and they're much more stable. So, with some of the high wing aircraft or high wing models that are out there, some of them actually have a thing called dihedral, which is basically like an upward angle of the wings. You probably won't notice it at first glance, and when you get up close, you'll be able to see it. But the wing will kind of on both sides, it'll sort of tilt up just a little bit. And the reason why is that'll make it more stable in the air. So you could actually get the plane in sort of like a bank, and you could let go of the sticks, and the plane would almost basically just sort of self-right itself and put itself back level again. And that's what the dihedral, you know, does. So, you know, like I said, stick with high wings. High wings are your friend when you're starting out. Like I said, I know they're boring to some people, not as cool as a warbird, but they are much, much easier and much slower to fly for a beginner, okay? So definitely stick with your high wings. And let me move on to the next thing here. And we're going to talk about basically control surfaces of the aircraft, you know, what makes it actually, you know, move around in the sky, basically. And this is kind of a thing that comes up for beginners, too. And basically, when you're starting out, you either want to do a three-channel aircraft or a four-channel aircraft. And let me go ahead and I'll try to explain this, what I'm referring to. So with an RC aircraft, RC airplane, you actually have, you know, channels. You know, each channel represents a different control surface of the aircraft, okay? We'll start with your tail section of the aircraft. So if you're looking at a standard high wing airplane, on the tail, you have an elevator which controls the up and down motion of the aircraft, the pitch of the aircraft. Okay, and then that's on the horizontal stabilizer. So the horizontal thing you see on the tail section, that's the horizontal stabilizer, and then the control surface there is the elevator that's the one that moves and controls the pitch, the up and down of the aircraft. And if you kind of go up to the vertical stabilizer, attached to that is the rudder, and that controls more of the left right, the yaw motion of the aircraft. So that's going with your tail section there. And if we move forward, first one that's an obvious one is your throttle, your thrust, how you're actually going to propel this thing into the air. So, you know, that's another channel for your throttle. Okay. And then finally, the last control surface there we're going to cover is obviously on the wings. Okay, and on the wing, there is what they call ailerons. There's one aileron on each side of the wing, basically. And these operate kind of opposite of each other. So when one aileron's up, the other one's down, and vice versa. Okay. And those control like the bank or roll of the aircraft. Okay. So if you're ever watching someone fly a model aircraft and they all of a sudden do this crazy like spin that completely flips the aircraft, you know, around upside down and all that, the ailerons are what's doing that. The ailerons basically cause it to bank, and it can bank it so much to where it flips upside down and bank it all the way around, basically. So ailerons control the bank of the aircraft. So those are your basic control surfaces of the RC plane. And now let's kind of dive into specifically about the channels. Okay. Now this is really personal preference. I mean, I'm not saying one's better than the other. I started with that really what I was most successful with and starting out with and got used to was just a basic three channel little cub plane. And with a three channel, what you get is you get your throttle, your elevator, and your rudder. Okay, that's the only channels you have there. So if you kind of look at it, ailerons are not included with the three channel. Okay, so you can't actually bank the plane real heavily. You can't do any roll, you know, any rolls or anything like that. So basically, with a three channel, you get throttle, elevator, and rudder. That's all you get. And with a three channel, you know, you don't expect to fly the thing upside down or anything like that. It's not quite, you know, designed like that. And with a three channel, about the only crazy thing you can do with it is just do loops. That's about the extent of it. So you can go completely up, you know, pull up, do a complete loop, and then come back down. Okay, so you know, you can't do any rolls or banks with it. Okay, and like I said, I started with a three channel. And for basic flying, just, you know, kind of just doing circles around and just getting a feel for orientation and direction and things, three channel is perfect. I mean, to me, like I said, that's just what I started with. And I would highly recommend them, honestly, as far as starting out. And the great thing about the three channel too is that remember I was talking about the thing called dihedral. Well, with the three channel, they definitely put dihedral on the wings. So, and what that does is, like, you know, if you're wanting to sort of almost bank the aircraft, the dihedral more or less assists with that along with your rudder input. So you can give it some rudder, whichever direction, left or right, and it will sort of bank the aircraft. The dihedral will do that, but it won't bank it to the point that you can flip it upside down or do any crazy stuff. Just kind of give it a basic bank. And then, like I said, once you let go of the sticks, it just self-rights itself, okay? So, like I said, that's kind of what I started with, and I mean, I highly recommend them as well. Three channel, just a basic plane, and, you know, just to get you a feel for it is the thing, just to kind of get you a good feel for it. The next one is four channel. Now, four channel obviously does all that, but also incorporates aileron control as well. So, you know, with an aileron or with a four channel, you can actually do full banks. You can actually do rolls with them. Okay. So you can actually do some maneuvers and stuff like that. So yeah, it does give you a little more flexibility there that you can actually do a little bit more with it. So, now when you're starting out, of course, you probably will not be doing any kind of crazy maneuvers or anything. You're just going to be lucky to keep the thing flying level, and doing basics, you know, circuits around your flying area and all that. Okay. So anyways, you know, four channel is really, really good for that. So anyways, four channel gives you a little more flexibility, but like I said, when you first start out, that four channel is going to be, it's just, you're not going to be quite doing some of those things just yet. The maneuvers and stuff will come later. The big thing right now is just to make sure you can get the thing up in the air, you know, and do circuits and just kind of get a basic feel for it, get a feel for direction, especially because when you're flying, you know, if you're flying, you know, out in front of you, left or right, the plane goes left or right. But if you're flying towards you, direction and stuff changes. So what's left actually turns it right. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're, when you're facing yourself, the direction is the opposite. So you have to kind of get stuff like that sort of programmed in your mind that when you're flying away from you, direction is how it is, left and right. But when you're flying towards you, it's the opposite. So you'll learn things like that as well when you're sort of just starting out. And those are important things to understand. Like I said, that's the big difference. That's the big thing there with 3-channel and 4-channel. 3-channel, you have rudder, elevator, and throttle. 4-channel gives you all those three, plus you get the aileron control as well. And depending on the aircraft, sometimes even when you get to 4-channel, it may not have dihedral in the wing, but that's just one of those things. I mean, you can either get a plane that has dihedral, or a plane that does not. Okay. So we've covered the types of aircraft. So definitely, like I said, no jets, no warbirds. Start out with a Cub or high wing design. We've done the 3-channel, 4-channel. So next we're going to talk about a thing called gyros, stabilization, and talk about flight modes. Now, not every manufacturer has this option. So, and I know some that actually have this option in just about every plane they make. So, but basically this, a gyro or stabilizer, its purpose is to keep your plane flying level when it's supposed to be, okay? It's sort of like a computerized version of dihedral in a way. It keeps your plane flying level. And it is especially important when you're flying in the wind, okay? Because, you know, obviously wind is going to cause it to behave a little differently than what you want. You know, wind will sort of push it around. So, but that's the purpose of the gyro and the stabilization, is to sort of keep your plane flying level, okay? As level as it possibly can. Like I said, most every plane has that nowadays. I think it's becoming more of a common thing. And it's definitely a good feature if you can get a plane that has that starting out. Going along with that is a thing basically called a flight mode. And again, this is not an every manufacturer thing. Some have this, some do not. Just to give an example, I'm actually going to name a brand right now. E-Flight products actually have this feature. And I think there are some others out there too currently, but E-Flight's one of the big ones. They have what they call flight modes, and they have basically a beginner mode, an intermediate mode, and an advanced mode. And with each mode, you basically get more control of the aircraft. In beginner mode, you can't do much. The way the thing is programmed, it prevents you from getting yourself into any kind of trouble. It keeps it about as level as you can, gives you very limited maneuverability, you know, stuff like that. And then as you flip the switch up to intermediate mode, it gives you a little more flexibility. You might be able to do something, you know, like a some sort of maneuver. It just depends. And then of course, advanced mode more or less just takes a lot of that limitation away. So you have complete full control of the aircraft and all that. So, you can almost sort of think like a beginner mode is like an autopilot that just lets you just sort of cruise with very little maneuverability from yourself. You know, you can do a little bit of touch here and there, but it won't actually do anything crazy. So, do I recommend flight modes and all this kind of stuff? Now, obviously, gyros and stabilization are, like I said, a super common thing. Most every plane's going to have that nowadays. But even if a plane does not have gyros and stabilization, it's not the end of the world. You're just going to have to be on the sticks more to help keep it in control, especially if it's windy out. Okay. Like I said, now, do I recommend flight modes and all that? The way I see it is this. I see it as a good thing for when you're starting out to have some sort of flight mode control or flight mode set up on your aircraft. Not a have to, but if you do have the option, I see nothing wrong with it. because it could be beneficial. It can actually help you learn how to fly, okay? The big thing is, of course, don't rely on it forever, okay? Because you're eventually going to get to a point, and you should eventually get to a point to where you can just say, forget the flight modes. I know how to do this. I can control this thing. Okay? So that's kind of the big thing. It's just, don't rely so heavily on it that you fly with it all the time, even after you've been flying for 5 years. Let go of it, you know. To start out with, it's great. It's perfect. It's a good thing to have there just to kind of keep yourself in check and not get yourself out of control. Get familiar with direction, orientation, and all that good stuff. So, definitely a good thing to have in the beginning. But like I said, eventually you need to let go of the training wheels and go. All right. So that's the big thing with flight modes. All right. Next thing on the topic here. Let's talk about radios. All right. Now, this is a very, very complex thing, and I don't really have an easy answer for this, but I will say this. If you do find yourself getting very serious about the hobby, like you really want to do this, you really want to, you know, keep buying more airplanes and continue learning, then you want to get a computer-based radio, okay? Basically, the way things are nowadays, you have two types of radios. You have a radio that is already sort of pre-programmed for the aircraft that has no digital display on it whatsoever. It is just a straight, like, black controller, a few little buttons and switches, and that's it. Okay? That's just, like, your most basic radio. Or you have computer radios. Computer radios... actually, let me back up for a second. The standard... The most basic transmitter controller radio is generally only programmed for the aircraft you're flying and nothing else. You can't bind it to anything else. Now, some you can, but for the most part, they're just preset for that particular aircraft and that's it. Okay. When you step into computer radios, you have a full digital display of all the settings and various things, you know, regarding your radio and your model. The computer radios allow you to store multiple models in your controller or transmitter. So I consider with my transmitter and one moment fly this aircraft, and then a few minutes later I'm going to switch it, I'm going to fly this aircraft. And each, it's almost like basically like each model is stored as like a separate, using computer terms here, like a little memory bank. So this model that I have programmed in my computer radio is stored in this part of the memory, and it contains all the settings and such that I have for that aircraft. And then I switch to a different model, different memory bank, and it's got all my settings for that model stored in there. So more flexibility, just good overall, really. So I think if you're going to get serious about the hobby, you really need to pursue a computer radio, okay? And again, I'm not going to name any brands or anything like that out there, but it's definitely worthwhile to look into a computer radio. Now, if you buy a basic transmitter, basic controller, you know, $50-$60, right? Computer radios, of course, are going to cost more. So, now, sometimes you might buy an aircraft, like a beginner aircraft, and it may very well come with a transmitter already set up for it. And that's perfectly okay for starting out. So, in fact, I think the first aircrafts, the first models that I got were just like that. They were not computer radios. They were just your standard transmitter, had a few little buttons and switches and the sticks, and it was already preset to the model I was flying, okay? So, that's completely okay. But like I said, if you become hooked to doing it, you're going to need to eventually buy you a computer transmitter, a computer controller, basically. All right. So that's radios in a nutshell. Like I said, I'm not going to name any names, name any brands, but there's nothing wrong if you just buy a model airplane that has a pre-programmed controller already with it. That's completely okay. And I will tell you this much too, kind of diving a little more technically into it. The transmitters themselves, not one is basically some are not compatible with others, just to give you a little heads up. So if you get a Spectrum, just I'll name this brand here. If you happen to have a Spectrum, let's just say a Spectrum airplane, Spectrum transmitter and receiver, those two are paired together, okay? And if you happen to have, say, a different model transmitter, we'll say a Futaba. Futaba does not work with Spectrum, so you have to kind of keep your radios in check. You have to use the same ones, okay? So, yeah, and that's one of the things with radios is once you pick a brand, you kind of have to stick with it because they're sort of preset for each other, basically. You know, this brand will not work with this brand. So it's like when you pick out your radio equipment, you have to match them up. So you have to buy a brand A receiver and a brand A transmitter for it to work, basically. So now technology has come a long way with that, and they're starting to develop things that can sort of interconnect with each other. But starting out, just stick with, you know, stick with one thing. And then eventually you can grow into that if you're passionate about it. So that's radios in a nutshell. So it's fine to start out with a basic transmitter radio, but if you are getting serious about the hobby, you might want to invest in a computer radio because it is just so much more flexible and you can do so much more with them. All right. So starting down here, let's talk about something else as well, and that is, so you've got your equipment, you've got the aircraft you want that'll get you started. Basically, probably some sort of high wing aircraft. You've made the decision of doing a 3-channel or 4-channel with gyro stabilization and maybe has flight modes with it. So you've got that picked out. And of course, hopefully already came with a radio, or maybe you've already got a radio that works with it. Now let's talk about putting all that together and making something happen. All right. So let's talk about getting out there and doing it. All right. So here's kind of your options as far as that's concerned. I would honestly recommend a couple things here. First of which is either an RC club or some sort of community. So, thankfully with the good old joys of the internet, you can probably find a way to reach out to find people in your community that do RC aircraft, RC airplanes or whatever. So that's one thing you can do. Is through social media, Facebook or whatever it is, you can reach out and hopefully find somebody in your area that actually does that does that sort of thing, and perhaps maybe they can agree to meet with you one time and show you the ropes and show you how to do it and all that kind of stuff. Now, for a long time there's also these RC clubs or AMA clubs, and I think as time goes on, we're going to see more and more of these types of RC clubs, not just AMA but other organizations, other communities. So, you know, like an AMA RC club is super common as well. They're, of course, throughout the country. I'm sure with a little bit of digging, you could probably hopefully find an RC or an AMA RC club in your area. So that's something to look into because if you can at least get with somebody is the big thing. Get with somebody who can actually show you what to do and how to do it and probably help you get your aircraft in the air and all that good stuff, right? And kind of show you the ropes and get you sort of trained and get you used to it. All right. That's one thing. So clubs and communities, yes, big thing. The next thing is, and this is more or less whenever you can't get out, and this is more or less just something to help you kind of get started without having to actually go out and do it, and that is an RC simulator. So I think that some of them start out about $200, and it's basically some software that you install on your computer, and it comes usually comes with its own little specialized transmitter controller that you interface with your computer, and it will give you almost like a real world experience of doing RC flight. And with these RC simulators, you'll have you know, different environments that you can fly in. So for example, you can fly in like a farm setting, or fly in like a big field setting. Some of them probably have like water, so if you want to do like practice like water takeoffs, you know, stuff like that. And then the simulator will also give you all kinds of various, all kinds of different aircraft options. Okay, so you'll have everything from your basic trainer cub stuff that we're talking about, up to like warbirds and jets. And of course, nowadays you're probably going to see drones, quadcopters on there as well. So an RC simulator, super, super helpful thing as well. One thing that makes the RC simulators great is that as you have it installed, and as you're playing it, you're kind of, flying the models around and stuff like that. Let's say, oh, you lost control, you crashed the aircraft. Well, guess what? You're not out any money for crashing the aircraft. You just push a button and it resets the whole thing, and you can do it again. So that's one of the great, great things about RC simulators, is that there's no damage involved. If you crash something, you just hit the reset button and you are back doing it again. So you obviously can't do that in real life, because as soon as you crash the plane, you got, at that point, you just have to kind of accept your loss, take it home, and maybe hopefully you can fix it. So, but simulators do give you that option and are a super helpful tool as well to help you get started. So, it would probably be wise, I would say, to go ahead and get a simulator first and then start hitting up some of the communities and RC clubs and things like that to find people to fly with. Okay. So, some helpful tools there. So, just to kind of recap, like I said, and just, you know, stick the types of aircraft, stick with clubs, or stick with RC. Getting a little tongue tied here. Start with like your Cub high wing trainer style aircraft, where the wing is on top of the fuselage. Like I said, no jets or warbirds, because those are not easy to fly for beginners. Those are more advanced aircraft. Next thing was 3-channel versus 4-channel. That is completely a personal preference. 3-channel is still a great training option. It won't give you the maneuverability that you'll get with a 4-channel, but it's still good to kind of get you oriented with things and learn direction and basic stuff like that. 4-channel, of course, will give you more flexibility in terms of maneuverability that you can sort of advance with. So, like I said, that's your preference on how you want to start out with, but both are, of course, are still good. Then we have gyros and stabilization. Like I said, it's becoming super common in most RC aircraft nowadays, that especially to help with, you know, helping with the wind and everything. So that's a common thing, as well as flight modes that are offered through some manufacturers. So if you can get a plane that has flight modes, that will definitely help you in learning how to fly. But like I said, don't rely on it. Eventually you need to, like I said, cut the training wheels off and do it yourself. So good to start out with, but definitely need to grow and get off of it whenever you start advancing. Next is radios. Like I said, as far as radios, the plane you pick may very well already have a radio with it. That is completely okay. And in fact, most beginner planes probably already do, and that's, like I said, that's completely fine. However, if you do eventually start getting serious about doing RC aircraft, you will definitely want to look into start getting a computer transmitter. All right. And finally, we talked about RC clubs, RC communities, finding people to fly with, because that will definitely help you when you have a buddy there who can say, oh, well, this is what's wrong, this is why it's doing this. you know, that kind of thing. And sort of build some friendships there as well. And then, of course, get yourself an RC simulator, because that will help you in learning how to fly. And like I said, if you crash, you can just hit the reset button and you can basically take back off again without any damage. So that's always a good thing, right? So there it is in a nutshell. I may have forgotten some things. I don't know. But that's at least enough to hopefully get you started, get you flying, and hopefully get you some success out there. I'm sure I've mentioned this in my YouTube videos, and maybe here as well, but the first aircraft that really kind of got me going, and I'll go ahead and name the name here. The first RC plane that got me going was the original Hobby Zone Champ. Okay. Like I said, nicknamed mine Teddy. And from the Stand By Me character, Teddy Duchamp. So that's kind of where that kind of came in. But anyways, Hobby Zone Champ. the aircraft is probably about, I think it's got a wingspan of about 20 inches. So it's actually really small. It is a three-channel. There's no aileron control on it whatsoever. So all I can do is basically up and down. I can, you know, go left and right. there's plenty of dihedral in the wing, so it would do really good turns. And of course, my throttle control. That's what I have with it, pretty much. I can do loops with it. There was a couple times I actually got to fly inverted for a little bit. But just a super basic three-channel aircraft that flew like a dream. I'm telling you, the thing was super easy to control. As far as a beginner, it was great. This was even before the age of like the flight mode. So there was no beginner mode, advanced mode, or all that stuff with it. No, it was just straight up, you know, here it is. And but what you can honestly do is, you know, once you get it up in the air, you could put the throttle about halfway and it would just cruise along just like it was nothing. I mean, it was a super, super good flying plane. And that's what you want. You want something that doesn't go super fast. So you've got some room or some time there to react if you get yourself in trouble. If you're going 50, you know, if you're going 50 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour, and you're about to hit a tree, you've got to react quick, you know? But if you got something that's like a little, you know, little cub, like my Hobby Zone Champ, you could cruise along and you'll have plenty of time to react if you get yourself in trouble, because it goes slower. That's a big key thing. So, but the Hobby Zone Champ, super great little airplane. And it came with its own transmitter that was already pre-bound to the aircraft. I mean, it literally was like, it looked a lot like a PlayStation controller. It was a super tiny little transmitter. And, but again, it was a great little flying aircraft and a great little setup. I think the whole thing, the airplane and the transmitter and all that together, I think it was like $100. And it was enough to get me hooked. So, and we all start with something. We all start with some sort of aircraft like that. So, you know, it's definitely beneficial for something like that. And honestly, you know, it's like I said, it was enough to get me hooked. I mean, I think I flew every day for a while with that thing. I just had so much fun with it because it was a good little intro aircraft. And then, of course, I eventually start getting into four-channel aircraft and things like that. So that's what you want. You want to, you know, start out with something that's basic and that can train you to get you started, and then start growing from there. So, but that's kind of my journey with that. So I think I covered this pretty well. I felt like maybe my coffee didn't quite kick in good enough or whatever, but hopefully it's good enough for you guys to understand. And of course, if there's any questions or anything, you can let me know somehow. You know, if you have any questions or anything, and like I said, hopefully it helps. I can't stress this enough. Get a high wing aircraft for sure. The flight modes are great if you can get them, and definitely either get you a simulator to fly to help, you know, train you with, and or get some buddies to fly with, because those things right there will definitely help you get started, you know, with doing this. And really honestly, some of this does apply to drones and quadcopters as well. I think there are some sort of preset recommended drones, quadcopters for beginners. I know that I've got a little SEMA drone quadcopter that I would honestly highly recommend for a beginner. And so if you're into that sort of thing, I'd recommend SEMA's for sure. But beyond that, like I said, I mean, if you do some shopping around, I'm sure you can find just a good intro quadcopter or drone as well. I think that's it, guys. Like I said, I think I've covered it pretty well. If I left something out, I'll bring it up at some other point. But like I said, I think that covers a lot of the main core stuff for right now. Enough to hopefully help you get started and flying these things and getting hooked to it like so many of us are. So, all right, guys. Well, that is all for me. I need to kind of chug me some more coffee here and wake up a little bit more. And like I said, if you have any questions or anything, you please let me know, and we'll get them answered for you. So I hope everybody out there is doing well and all that good jazz. Hope this is currently a Saturday, so I hope everybody out there has a good weekend if you're listening to this on a weekend, or just a good day in general. Hope you guys are having a good day in general. But yeah, that's all for me, guys. This concludes episode 2. I don't know what to call this. We'll just say some helpful tips for beginners or something like that. I don't know. but like I said, hopefully this helps. Hope everybody out there has a good day, good week, weekend, whatever it is. And that is all from me. And we'll see you guys in the next episode. I'm gonna go to the bathroom.